The interviews and discussions on this podcast are opinions only and not financial or investment advice. Listeners should obtain independent advice based on their own circumstances before making any financial decisions. Hello and welcome to this edition of Stockhead's Rock Yarn. I'm your host, Peter Strachan. In the USA, production of oil and gas from tight formations has experienced a technological revolution, lifting oil products out of the USA by over 7 million barrels of oil a day since 2007. ASX-listed Brookside Energy has a position in the prolific Anadarko Basin, from where it has developed plans to lift production from around 1,400 barrels of oil equivalent per day to 2,500 barrels of oil equivalent per day through 2024. To assist us in understanding the company's plans for the Flames Morons project development, we're delighted to welcome back David Prentice, who is the Managing Director at Brookside Energy. Welcome, David. Can you just begin by locating the Scoop play in the Anadarko Basin for our listeners?
Yeah, so look, we're in the southern part of the Anadarko Basin, which, as you said, is one of the top seven major US hydrocarbon basins, and really probably one that doesn't get a lot of attention in the media, although it does have sort of 16-odd billion barrels of unrisked, technically recoverable resources. So it's a big basin, and probably only about 20% of what we would describe as the sweet spots within that basin have been already developed. So it's a great place to be working. It's got a fantastic regulatory environment, and a little bit of the history. We started out in 2016 with a non-operated position in a play called the Stack Play, which is really quite close to Oklahoma City. And what we were really doing in 2016 was really learning about what the big, more successful E&P companies were looking for in the basin in terms of, you know, what kind of rock were they looking for? What were the reservoir characteristics that made the difference between an average well and a really good well? And then how they went about drilling and completing the well. So it was really doing our homework, I guess. And then in 2018, we started to prospect along the basin margin about sort of 150, 200 miles south of Oklahoma City down towards the state line with Texas. And we came across our Swish area of interest in 2018, which is in the sort of the southern part of the Scoop play. So we're targeting the Sycamore and the Woodford formations down there, about each about sort of 400 feet thick. So they're quite thick, the typical kind of fractured limestone sitting, which is a Sycamore limestone sitting on top of the Woodford shales, and both of those zones are productive. So yeah, that's kind of where we are in the basin.
Yeah, so it's an interesting play to be in, and quite different from Australia, where some of these projects are so remote. It's really sort of a couple of days' journey if something breaks down. And where you are, I mean, if you need something, you can basically get it in 40 minutes. So things are pretty close. It's easy working in that part of the world.
Absolutely. We had an example of that today where a small piece of equipment on the drilling rig broke down, and I think it was exactly sort of 30 to 40 minutes we had the part replaced and we're back up and running again. So
you pick up the phone and within 20 30 minutes you've got Billy Bob shows up with his ute and the part that you need. Whereas in Australia, you have to sort of, it has to come from Singapore. It might be 3 days or something, you know. Now, look, David, to set the scene, let's begin by outlining Brookside's working interest in its permits. And let's talk about who the partners are, what petroleum resources have been estimated on your permits.
Yeah, so look, we've got probably an average working interest. Our working interest varies across the blocks, but we'd be in the high sort of 70% working interest across the average across our blocks, and the NRI would be in the high 50s, low 60s. So the net revenue interest would be in the high 50s, low 60s, and the balance of the working interest is a contributing interest held by a mix of public and private Oklahoma-based E&P company. So Continental Resources is one, and there's four or five other very large private companies that you know the listeners in Australia won't have heard of that you know ended up with acreage positions you know in our blocks. So you know that's just the nature of the forced pooling situation in Oklahoma.
Yeah. So what's the estimated resources that you've looked at on your permits? You know, the target for these three wells that you're going to be.
Yeah, so following on from our Hellboy production drilling program, which we completed last year, very early last year, we got an independently certified reserve on our four drilling spacing units. So just shy of 12 million barrels of oil equivalent net to us. So that's net. So net to our working interest and net of royalties. And last year they put an NPV on that 12 million odd barrels of oil equivalent reserve of $170 million. That's currently being redetermined as at the 1st of January 2024. So you know we'll see some impact to that number as prices have come off dramatically since you know I think those numbers will run at $90 odd or $93 and $6.50 gas,
and we're now back at more like sort of 78. Is that sort of West Texas prices? Yeah,
that's right.
I mean, most of your production is oil from these permits, isn't it, David?
It's about 60% is liquid, so 35% ish would be light sweet crude. Another 30-odd% would be natural gas liquids, and then the balance is dry gas.
So what's the comparison, just for the listener? You're talking about, okay, the estimated NPV may go down a little bit because of the change in prices, but how does that compare to your current market capitalization of Brookside?
Oh, well, yeah, you know, so, you know, we've sort of got a US $34 million market cap, and we've got about US 17 odd million in cash. So we've got an enterprise value of about 17 million versus that PV 10.
So, 10 times.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. So, well, that's a good target to be drilling for. What's involved now with Brookside's current development plans in Oklahoma?
Yeah, so Peter, what we've done is we finished off that Hellboy production drilling program, which is really just a single well down and producing in each of these drilling spacing units, which enables you then to book the reserves. And then we really sort of spent sort of the back half of 2023 or back half of last year really looking at what's the best pathway forward for developing these reserves, and looking at really a number of alternatives. One alternative was to see whether we would get a bid for the asset. Then another alternative, looking at whether we should take on a partner to develop the asset, or whether we should sole fund it. And during that period, we had Continental Resources, which is Harold Hamm's company, with the largest E&P company in Oklahoma. They were a public company with a market cap of about $20 billion, but then they've now gone private. They did a very large development immediately south of our Flames Maroons development project called the Core Bay Development, which was really a pilot on what full field development would look like. So they drilled 16 wells where they went ahead and essentially developed up the blocks all at the same time. So simultaneous development, where you go ahead and drill the wells and then stimulate them all at the same time and then bring them all online at the same time. So that really gave us a blueprint for what was the optimum, most efficient way to exploit these reserves. So, you know, efficient in terms of cost and efficient in terms of reservoir recovery. So we're moving forward with that FMDP project right now, where the drilling has started. We're drilling ahead in the first of four wells that we'll drill in that one drilling spacing unit to develop up those reserves contained within that unit. So very exciting time for us.
So, David, the actions of your neighbours, the developers around your area, has really influenced Brookside's plans, because you've seen the success that they've had. Do you have any numbers? Often in the United States, the actual outcomes per well and so forth are pretty tightly held, but do you have any idea of how those wells have gone?
Yes, we do. We had a small working interest in one of the wells, which enabled us to sort of get the data. Obviously the drums in the field work pretty effectively as well. So we're certainly very aware of the success of that development, and that's really given us the confidence, if you like, to sort of pick up that blueprint and go ahead and do it ourselves.
Yeah, indeed. So what are the costs involved for your company on a well, for each well, and completion costs and the estimated recovery of oil and gas for each well in the play?
Yeah, so we're going to spend about $26 million in 2024, which will be funded out of our current cash and cash flow that we'll get during the course of the year to drill these four wells. That's our net share of the total development cost. The wells cost around about, depending on the lateral length, they're anywhere from $6 or $7 million to as much as $11 million, depending on whether they're a 1 mile or a 2 mile lateral. And then the EURs are sort of around about that million barrels of oil equivalent. At today's prices, or if you the SEC strip pricing at the beginning of this year, with $78 and $2.60, which is close on oil and arguably close on gas, you get a PV10 of about $8 million per well. The well pays out in about 20 months and generates a 53% rate of return. So look, these are very robust wells, and that's why we're so confident to move forward with this development. To put that in context for some of your listeners, if you think back to when Aurora Oil and Gas were developing their project in the Eagleford Shale, these metrics would compare extremely well to the wells that they were drilling, back in the day.
Yeah, that's true. That's right. I know everything is pretty well connected there. There's pipes running in all different directions, but how does your oil and gas make its way to the markets from the permits?
So that's one of the real benefits that we've got, because this part of Oklahoma's replete with infrastructure. So there's gas processing facilities very close to where we are. There's a couple of refineries located within 30 or 40 miles of where we are. So we have no difficulty getting our product to market, and we get our gas into a market that's got good takeaway capacity, which is obviously important. You will have heard about some of the challenges that come out of the Permian Basin, where there's just not enough pipeline capacity to get that gas away. So we're in a really good spot. And the fact that we've got, high liquids content, rich gas, we don't produce very little formation water, so we don't have any significant water disposal costs. And so what all that, translates to is sort of very strong margins. So, if you look at our estimated production cost per well, we're sort of about $9 US per barrel of oil equivalent, and that's broken up into about a third of that, or $3.70 odd of that, is lease operating costs, $2.60 is production and ad valorem taxes, or so state taxes, and then $2.70 in gathering and transport. So that really puts us, we would compare very, very well to the other US listed E&P companies in terms of our cost of production.
So effectively, you're selling a product for about $70 a barrel, which costs you $9 a barrel to get to the market.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's a little bit. The 70 turns into, probably, depending on what price we're using, once you turn the gas and the NGL stream. Yeah, that's right. So it's probably closer to 50, and it's costing us $9 a barrel to get it out of the ground and into the get it sold.
Will there be any ongoing CapEx involved for these projects? I mean, would you come back and sort of stimulate them again in 3 years' time? Or
look, the wells that we've drilled so far are doing particularly well. The first well we drilled, is still flowing naturally, so it's significantly, I think it's close to 3 years on production now, and it's still flowing naturally. The The other three wells have very, very small amount of gas lift, so a small amount of artificial lift. And so there's very little moving parts. So you know, barring some sort of a issue with the casing or some sort of technical issue, then these wells should have very little sustaining capex going forward and very low operating costs.
So David, you've started drilling the first of four wells, and you'll be drilling all of those and then stimulating them. What's the time frame to get the whole four wells done and dusted?
Yeah, so by the middle of this year, we hope to have all of the drilling and the wells all drilled and casing cemented, and then we'll bring the completion crews in. So the way you do this is you do a zipper frack. So basically, you're completing a stage you're connecting them all up at once, and then you complete them a stage at a time across all four wells, and that way you get the best sort of outcome. So there'll be a couple of months worth of work involved in that completion process, and then the back half of the year, early to the middle of the third quarter, we would start to see flow back, and then start to see some money in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. So that leads to the final question, which is news flow. But before that, are there any other projects that Brookside's exploring, and what will the planned cash surplus, be? How will that be employed when you start to be in the money towards the end of the year?
Yeah, so last year we used some of the cash that we generated from the first four wells to do an on-market share buyback, and that's something that we would contemplate doing again once we get these four wells down and producing. But bigger picture, the cash that comes from this development really provides us with a fantastic sort of platform to go ahead and continue to develop up the rest of the blocks and really transform if we can go to sort of 1400 to 2.5, there's really very little impediment for us to go from 2.5 to 4.5. So that's kind of the game plan moving forward. And then beyond that, that'll take us out to sort of 2027, 2028, and beyond that, we need to start thinking about what's next in terms of getting back to the prospecting part of the business, which is finding the next thing.
And so once you get up to over sort of 4,000 barrels a day, you start to have a significant surplus cash that you can invest in new projects. So that'll be, yeah. So the news flow is going to really be, as you've outlined, the four wells drilling, the stimulation stages towards the July, August, and then reports of a lot more oil coming out of the ground by September, hopefully.
Correct.
Well, David, thanks for coming in today. That's a real tour de force of an area which I think quite a few subscribers won't have heard very much about, the Scoop play or anything else about Oklahoma, which is right on the border of Texas, which is where most of the oil is produced, certainly onshore in the United States. And I think it's shows where Brookside's going to be moving over the next 6 months with this active program. So thanks once again for coming in and giving us such a good insight into the activities of the company.
Thanks, Peter. I really enjoyed talking to you.